Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Happy Sunday. Cubs are losing 13-2 to the Pirates. They're going to be 2 under at the break. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hogue. He's Jared Payton. Dan Long producing. I was at the ballpark today. They looked good. They looked so good. They're so good. If one person, if one more person comes up to me, media person in this city, friend of mine, whoever, and just tells me, relax, they're so good. They've got so much talent. Don't worry about it. They'll be fine. Don't overreact.
Why are you doing a Donald Trump
impersonation? They're going to be in the playoffs. I don't know how that happened. I have been watching the team. I love the team.
You should.
Love the team. Love them. I feel like they can have a bad half, a bad year, even a bad couple of years. You won the World Series, great. But don't tell me how good they are, because they're just not that good right now. And I'm sorry, their rotation borderline stinks, and they don't hit the ball either. Welcome to the show, 312-981-7200.
That sounds like all the problems right there.
I mean, how many people, seriously, are you one of these people? Adam Hogue just pulled out a notebook of stuff that he's got on the Cubs. How many people have said to you all season long, they will be fine, they are great, there's too much talent, they are awesome, enough, Gnug?
I've been among those people. But
you've been,
but I, you know what I got to say, this last week has really been an eye opener, because not only have the Cubs been playing their worst baseball of the season, mm-hmm. I mean, it's getting worse. That's what's concerning. You know, they're still like kind of just sleepwalking. This isn't sleepwalking anymore. It's bad baseball. I mean, it's really bad baseball. They're among the worst teams in hitting.
Yes,
they're starting pitching. Actually ranks in the middle of the pack in baseball, but looks worse than that. It certainly does not resemble any kind of team that or rotation that's going to carry you to another World Series title. Their defense, which is the easiest thing to be insulted by when you're a baseball fan, right? Just bad defense just hurts your baseball sensibilities. Mm-hmm. That's happening like every third inning watching this team. Today it's happened a lot. Chris Bryant, Aaron the first, led to
10 runs.
Really made John Lester's stat line look a lot better than it really was, because Lester only gets charged with 4 earned runs today, even though it was 10-0 when he came out of the game.
Well, that's good. I forgot about that part. Good for John Lester.
Yeah, he only had 4 earned runs, not 10.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't think of that. I didn't look at the box score.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It just goes to show you sometimes stats are deceiving, especially in baseball. This is a problem. This team, I didn't even get the other development of this week, is the Milwaukee Brewers are making a push. And by the way, we're going to have Mike Heller on, host in Wisconsin at 4:35 to get some real insight on this Brewers team. Are they for real?
Hashtag the Hellcat will be with us at 4:35.
The Hellcat.
I've been on the Hellcat show.
It's a good show.
It's a solid show.
I go on it weekly during the football season.
I don't think he...
He hasn't had me on
I yet. Always think I do a terrible job, and then they have me back. I just want to put that out there. I never think that they like anything I'm saying, and then somehow I get invited again.
Come on, man. You're always solid. Keep going, though, Hogue.
Yeah, keep going, Hogue.
You got a lot of stuff written down over there.
I know. I spent my whole morning just writing down.
Hold up. You have an iPad? Why aren't you being like Joe Madden?
No, this isn't an iPad.
I know, but why aren't you using just your notes?
You know,
you went old school for this.
You know, like when you're a student, did it ever help you to write things down?
Well, I felt like we always were writing things down.
Right. Well, because we didn't have, like, kids these days have iPads and computers and stuff. But when I would, like, read a textbook, it would help me when I would write notes down, not just highlight. Ring a bell?
Yeah, but I would
highlight. So I've kind of realized, I've been doing this 10 years now, and I've kind of realized in the past 6 months that when I prepare for a show, it actually helps to write specific things down.
What about when you're covering during the year? Like, when you're at a game covering, do you find yourself writing or on your computer more?
More on my computer. There's too much going on.
All right.
It's just got to be in one place.
Look at you.
Go back to the Brewer game on Thursday. That's where you left off. I want to hear where you're going.
Well, yeah, because the Brewers swept Baltimore before that game. This is earlier in the week. They just swept the Orioles. By the way, the Orioles are a horrendous team on the road. It makes no sense. They cannot win on the road. But still, the Brewers took advantage and swept them. Then they come to Wrigley, and this is the makeup of that game that the Brewers were so mad about because it never rained, and they had to give up an off day in the middle of a stretch of playing the Orioles and the Yankees and playing a lot of games in a row. They come to Wrigley, and they just pound the Cubs, which was the worst loss of the season until today, by the way.
Well, let's talk about
that. And then they go to New York. They win on Friday. They should have won last night, but the Yankees have another young kid come up and hit a walk-off home run, and then actually I haven't checked that score in a while.
5-3, they're still winning. Milwaukee in the bottom of the seventh.
Big game for Milwaukee, I would say, today. Take advantage, go up 5.5 games.
Let me just tell you, being in Wisconsin on 4th of July weekend, over that weekend, listening to a lot of Brewers fans, I mean, they're drinking the Kool-Aid, but it's a little bit – it's a different feeling right now because they see the Cubs slipping, and they know it wasn't – I was trying to trash talk as much as possible, but I couldn't. I had to hold back. But to answer your question, Carm, I was never one of those guys that were just like, okay, they have all this talent, they're going to be good. No, they have issues. And with these issues, it's starting to stack on more and more, and they are who they are right now.
Kevin Powell's out at the ballpark, so we will have KP on at some point here. I'm curious what's coming out of the Cubs clubhouse today. I'm curious what Joe Maddon's going to say. We're going to play some of that. And I'm curious what some of the players will say. What will John Lester say? I'd like to be there today. I would like to ask such questions as, are you guys taking this season for granted, or are you just have sort of – and see, I don't think the players necessarily are. And, you know, I look at them, I feel like they're trying. But you go back to Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay, what do the Cubs do on Thursday? Number one, they bonged the game against the Brewers when it wasn't even raining. They could have played that day. They rescheduled, so the Brewers have to give up an off day. The Brewers were playing a night game the night before. The Brewers asked the Cubs to make it a night game. The Cubs told the Brewers, no, we're keeping it in the day because for whatever reason. So they would not do a Milwaukee a solid, which they should have. Then they proceeded to go ahead and say, you know what, Kyle Schwarber, yeah, you look good. You're ready. Come on up here. You've been in the minors for 11 games. We're going to bring you up against the Brewers, the biggest game of the year, 2.5 or 4.5 back. We're going to bring you up. Then we're going to hit you fifth, right in the heart of the order, ahead of Jason Hayward, ahead of everybody else.
14-2, Pirates.
Yeah, not a home run off of Eddie Butler is pitching right now in the ninth inning at Wrigley. So I didn't get that. What was the rush to bring Kyle Schwarber back? And then he looked awful in the game against the Brewers. Then you get in the sixth inning. You're down 9-1. The wind's blowing out. I get it. It's a long season, but Milwaukee is the first-place team. You take out Rizzo and Bryant. Got to get them rest. Come on, man. Any sense of urgency here whatsoever? I get it maybe in the ninth inning if they just hit and they weren't going to come up again, but I just didn't see that. A lot of stuff on that day that bothered me. A
couple things you hit on right there. One thing, I don't know if you use the word complacency, but you use the word similar to that. When I was in Arizona during spring training, and I spent 3 or 4 days with the Cubs, I never once asked the question, are you worried about this team being complacent? And yet, I must have heard that answer.
Yeah.
At least 3 or 4 times.
It's human nature.
But here's my point. The Cubs were bringing that up on their own. Like, I never asked Jed Hoyer, are you worried about this team being complacent? But he said, you know, we're not really worried about complacency.
It happens.
And it's like, but why do you keep talking about this if no one's, I'm not asking.
Because you know the question's going to come up. So you just answer it before. And a lot of guys aren't, but things change.
But that's kind of what it looks like, you know?
It is, but things change, man.
But my point is, it tells me they were worried about it.
I don't know. I've been in the position, so I have a good understanding about it. So I can feel it. But guys, things change for guys, man. Dudes get radio shows and more deals. It's hard to focus in on what you need to focus in and what you gave the year before when guys are moving all over the place, man.
Another thing, Carm, you mentioned Joe Maddon and how you're curious to see what happens at the end of this game. I think this is a big day for Joe Maddon.
I do too.
I mean, managers, we can get into the whole debate. We can do a whole show on how much managers matter. I think they do matter, but not as much as some people. I'm kind of in the middle of the road on this. But here's two things. I mean, certainly moments within a game that are strategic where manager says, hey, we're doing this, that does fall on them. And oftentimes you don't really see them happening like maybe you see it in a football game, for instance, or a basketball game. But those moments do happen within a game. The other thing, though, is just the highs and lows of a baseball season. Yeah. It is the manager's job to keep things even keeled when you fall into a lull, when to know when to push the buttons, when not to. I think going into this All-Star break, whatever Joe Maddon says or doesn't say at the end of this game, some managers may just, you know, bye, see ya. Others may decide to say something here at the end. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think whatever Joe does is going to be an important message or non-message going into this break.
I mean, if I'm Joe Maddon, and he's not a big meeting guy, so I don't think he's going to say anything and gather the team. But if he was, I'd say something like, guys, I'm extremely disappointed in the first half of the season. I'm also extremely optimistic in all of you, and I'm expecting an enormous second half. I want you guys to get away from the game, and I want you also to celebrate what you've done as far as winning the World Series, but that's officially over. And it's,
you just gave me chills.
And
you started off, I didn't know you were disappointed, and I'm sitting here trying to listen to that as a player going, wow, but you brought it back around. If I heard that, I just got chills.
Which part?
The after you being disappointed and
right.
Like, we need to turn this thing around.
Right. I don't want to sugarcoat it. I did not see this first half coming, and I'm not blaming the effort, and I'm looking at myself right in the mirror also. And I want you guys to have a great break, and I'm going to represent us at the All-Star game in Miami with a first class, and Wade's going to do the same. But when we come back here, it's not going to be. It's just not going to be the same as it was the start of this half. It is all systems go, and you know if you're hot, you're going to be in the lineup. And if you're not, you're not. So, they have basically taken out any cushion that they have in the whole season. And when you're going into the break 5.5 back, I mean, you got to get hot. You got to get hot pretty quick,
yeah,
or else it's going to be. And you're not. You have no chance for the wild card. So I mean, it's on them now.
Well, when we come back, I want to go over some numbers and just some facts to kind of really put this in perspective of how bad this is. Not from a hey, look, the season's over standpoint, but just hey, look, this is real. And it starts with what Carm started the show with right off the bat. It's time to stop talking about how they're fine. They're not fine. They could turn this around, but right now this team is not fine. We're going to put that in perspective. Also, want to hear from you. It's a great day to take your phone calls, take your text, 312-981-7200, give you a chance to just vent. I mean,
yeah, and
Cubs panic. Cubs. I think we should start a riot here.
Or
this Cubs riot in Chicago.
I'm willing to hear people like, "Hey, man,
I want
to
know what streets because I'm not going that way."
Just right out here in Michigan Avenue.
I could also hear 312-981-7200. Hey, we won the World Series. I am not sweating it. I don't care.
Stop
if they
being
don't
complacent.
Well, but I maybe some people feel that way. I don't know. 14-2 Cubs mounting a rally in the ninth. They got two on. 1-2 the count. Game's probably over, though. I'm Mark Harmon. You're Adam Hogue. You're Jared Payton. Cubs are going to be two games under 500 going into the break. Thank you for listening to WGN. Adam Hogue has stats to back up why the Cubs are not good at baseball right now.
Well, here's a common sentiment. Just came in during the break via text, 708. Fellas, texting in from the left field bleachers at the Cubs game. It's all good out here. No need to worry. The Cubs will win the division. You guys are great. Charlie. First of all, I appreciate you listening to the show.
Love you, Charlie.
From inside Wrigley Field right now.
That's awesome.
Charlie's like most loyal listener. Always get a text from Charlie. Love you, Charlie. But
thanks,
we're about
Charles.
To disagree with you, Charlie.
Well, not necessarily.
A little bit.
I just wanted to just point out how lucky the Cubs are to be in the division they're in.
That's true.
Because
that's very true.
Because Charlie may not be wrong. The Cubs very well may still win the division. One of the big things we're going to spend the 4 o'clock hour on is trying to figure out how much we need to worry about the Brewers. Because I'm still not sure on them. But it's worth the discussion. But let's put the Cubs in the East right now. Do you know how many games back they would be? And this is all going into today.
If they were in the 12 games back?
They'd be 8 games back of Washington if they were in the East Division. Not terrible, but worse than they are now. Looking at 5.5 games back, if the Brewers hold on today, they'd be a little bit farther back of the East. And I think when we would talk about the Nationals a little bit differently than the Brewers, you need to worry about the Nationals if you're in that division. It would be really hard to come up with 8 games in the second half of the season on the Nationals. If they were in the West, well, that division would be over. It is over. The Dodgers are really good, and the Cubs would be 16 games back in the Western Division right now. In terms of the wild card, they were 6.5 back of Colorado today. They're playing the White Sox. That'll probably be 7.5 back by the end of today.
Go Tim Anderson in home runs in the ninth inning last night.
I like that.
For a White Sox win with Jose Quintana getting his first ever RBI. Don't think I'm not paying attention to your White Sox, Hogue.
I appreciate that. But if they were, and then they'd be 9.5 back of Arizona for that first wild card spot. The bottom line there being, if they're in the West, we'd be talking about them not making the playoffs. And if they're in the East, we'd be saying there's a pretty good chance they're not making the playoffs. So whole situation could be a lot worse than it is if it wasn't for some good fortune of them being in the Central, where it's just not a good division. This Cubs panic would be on a completely different level.
Let me flip it another way for you, though. They're most likely... Brewers are leading 5-3 in the eighth right now on the Yankees, top of 8.
They did blow a lead last night, though, a similar lead.
They did.
In the ninth.
But let's just for one second, let's imagine the Cubs did not win the World Series last year. Mm-hmm. And let's imagine that the team in front of them didn't say Brewers, and it said Cardinals. And you were going to go into the break, and you were going to be 5.5 back of the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, how confident would you think Cub fans would be that they were actually going to rally back from 5.5 back at the break, which is significant, to take the division? Mm. Would that confidence meter be 10%? Because I don't...
It wouldn't be very confident. Big story that everyone would be writing and talking about right now, and we'd be doing a whole show on, is whether or not Joe Maddon should be fired right now.
That would be one conversation.
Because if they did not win the World Series, and the way Joe Maddon managed those last 2 games, and the Cubs were in this position... It would be bad for him.
312-981-7200, Cubs Talk, right now on 720 WGN. Your thoughts are welcome. Matt, welcome to WGN. What's on your mind, sir?
I'm calling from Houston, Texas, and I am suffocating with all the Astro fans giddy about their performance, because it reminds me of what happened with the Cubs last year. And this year with the Cubs, there is an overriding arrogance that's permeated from the top of the organization to the bottom, and you know, they just think they can just flip the switch and everything's going to be okay. And as we've seen, they can't put a 5-game winning streak together.
They can't put a 2-game winning streak together.
They have not won 2 games in a row since June 20th.
That's not good.
Turning. And I was talking with my brother-in-law in the off season, who lives up there in Chicago, and we were saying what is next for the Cubs now that they've won it. And I told him, and Jared can probably relate to some of this. Is this group going to be like the 85 Bears, group that only won one title but can live off that for the rest of their lives? Or are they going to be like the Blackhawks of this decade, a talented core that won multiple championships?
Matt, I was thinking that when I was driving in today from the suburbs, and I was just trying to think about the same conversation I had with these guys about what happened after the Bears won. And everybody was getting deals, and it was like people weren't as focused as they were the year before. It was hard not to walk around the city and everybody loving you, patting you on the back. It's different.
But at least those, Jared, as you know, those guys, I mean, they are winning 14, 13, 12 games the next couple of years. They just came playoff time. They just couldn't do it.
It's true.
This group right now, we don't know if they're going to get to the playoffs. At least when the White Sox won the title in 05, they didn't go back the next year, but they won 90 games.
Right.
I mean, right now, is this group going to get to 500? I don't know. Here's the thing to think of. If 3 weeks from now, if this thing gets down to your 7-8 games behind the Brewers, you trade Arrieta, because he's walking at the end of the year anyways.
Matt, appreciate your phone call. We're up against the news here. That discussion is highly unlikely to happen, but it's one that I've been having internally with myself daily.
I doubt the Cubs would do that, but I It might, if well, certainly if they were in these other two divisions, that conversation I just brought up, I would definitely trade Arrieta.
Yeah.
Theo was asked about that this week. Could you ever see yourself being a seller at the deadline? And his response was no, but I also didn't see us being under 500 right now. So I would be highly, it would be very unlikely, but if they go in the complete toilet between now and July, the end of July, then maybe something's possible. If I was the Cubs, we're up against the news here. We'll talk more coming up after 3:30. But if I was the Cubs, what exactly are you willing to give me for Wade Davis? Because I do have a C.J. Edwards who can step in and be the closer. I do have a team that is massively underachieving. I do have a closer that we paid Gleyber Torres for last year, and Wade Davis is every bit as good as Aroldis Chapman.
Yes.
I'm just curious, is anybody willing to give me a starting pitcher that I like a lot? Because I desperately need starting pitching going into next season, unless they're going to spend a lot of money, and I hope they do, Johnny Cueto or whoever.
That would definitely be thrown in the towel.
Because
you need Wade Davis if you're winning the World Series. We already saw how important Aroldis Chapman was.
Right. But so the whole idea.
That's the piece right there, man. Yeah.
You're right. It's a very, very important piece.
You're putting yourself in a bad situation.
I don't think they're going to do any of that, but I would be interested in what he's worth.
When we come back, I want to play you Theo Epstein's thoughts on what is wrong with his team right now and whether or not you agree with him.
Okay.
I'm sitting here doing some math. You're 5.5 back. You double that, you'd be 11 back, right? That seems like a
good math,
right? So I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to fall 11 games back. That would be shocking. But let's just say they come out of the gate slow after the All-Star break and it doesn't turn and they're 8 out, they're 7 out, they're 9 out come the end of the month. I mean, what does that look like if you're the Cubs? That is possible. Let's not completely rule that out. And I guarantee you those conversations are happening between Thed and Gio. Thed. That's good.
That's a new one. It's like guard packs.
I've been drinking or getting older. You decide. Jed and Theo.
Thed Epstoyer.
Ted
Nugent?
Did you do like 7 shots during the news?
3:36. Cubs are just. Is it gone final? 14-3. Is that?
Yeah,
what it
it's
is?
All. It's all over.
Okay.
The season is not, however.
No.
All right. 312-981-7200. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. He's Jared Payton. We're at the All-Star break.
Let me give you a couple things here. Perspective.
From the notepad.
Only 5 other World Series champions have had a more dramatic drop-off in run differential than these Chicago Cubs. That comes via 538.com and was referenced in David Haw's column in the Chicago Tribune today. The Cubs, which you may have heard this one already the last few days, they are the first World Series winner in baseball history
to not
send a returning player to the All-Star game because Wade Davis was not on this team last year. He's their only All-Star. That is surprising for two reasons. One, that's never happened before all the history of baseball. But also, given the Cubs players, the guys that made the All-Star game last year, there's just a talent on that roster that none of them made it. It's eye-opening. It really is.
I just for 1 second on that, I was disappointed that Cub fans got beat out by Dodgers fans in sending Justin Turner to the All-Star game. I know that Justin Turner deserves it over Chris Bryant, but there is a complacency even in the fans.
I think you're right.
That's when I saw it. It didn't make sense to me. Come on now.
Right.
Like this fandom, I mean, there was we saw what Cubs fans can do to help David Ross almost win the Mirror Ball Trophy.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Usually the opposite thing happens. I remember, I'd have to look it up, but I think the White Sox had like 4 or 5 players in the All-Star game the year after they won the World Series. Last year the Cubs had like the entire roster was starting.
Right. Addison Russell was a starter. KB, Rizzo. I think Lester was there last.
But the point there being, they deserved it more than they do this year. But those are fan votes that made that happen.
Right.
That could have still happened this year if you had gone out and voted.
But they didn't.
Two vote?
You're 500.
Did you vote?
World Series champions.
I voted in November.
World Series champions.
I voted. Yesterday.
Unlike many people. Sorry.
I voted for KB this week.
Are you sure?
I did.
I went vote KB.
Show me the receipt on your email.
I can show you. That's a true story.
I have one other one.
Yeah.
This is from the Elias Sports Bureau.
Ooh, I like it.
The Cubs have the worst record at the All-Star break by any 100-plus win World Series champion. Basically, that says no other team in the history of baseball
has fallen off
that much by the following All-Star break.
It's telling, man, about this season and everything that's going on right now.
That's massively disappointing, just hearing that. That's Cub. 312-981-7200. And by the way, let me just say again, the Cubs won the World Series. I said a gazillion times that I've just won it once, and I swear I will never ask for anything more from you again. For whatever reason, that hasn't proved to be true.
Yeah, but in Game 2 of the World Series in 2005, I turned to my dad and I said, if Paul Konerko hits a grand slam right here, I will take back any game I've ever been to. I will never go to another game ever again. And guess what? He took the first pitch over that left field wall for a grand slam, biggest home run in White Sox history. And I wanted to go to every game after that.
Of course.
I've been to,
we're liars.
It's great that they won, but still, this is kind of ridiculous what they're doing right now. So the question that we're talking about is, how do they fix this? Do they need to go out and buy, or can they fix this from within? Here was Theo Epstein's opinion on what the Cubs need.
I mean, look, I think if we can improve the club through trade, we will. But, our biggest fixes are inside the clubhouse. This is a team, largely the same club, won 200 games, averaged 100 wins a year over the last 2 years, and there's not a player that we realistically can bring in from the outside that's going to spur us to play at that level. We're going to get to a point of playing at that level because of the guys who are here. And, of course, we're going to work hard and do what we can to improve the club. It may happen, it may not happen. But, the biggest fixes rest in the talented players that we have.
So that was Theo.
I agree. I agree that the biggest problem with this team is with those players in the locker room underperforming. Carm, during the break, you wanted to play a game of who stinks, and you must have rattled off five guys right away.
And all those guys need to play better.
312-981-7200. Who stinks? you can just light them up if you want it, and you do it with love because you love these guys because they brought you a World Series. But go ahead. Who stinks and who smells good on the Chicago Cubs right now after one half of baseball in 2017? Because the list of who stinks is pretty long. 312-981-7200. Just let it out. I know you want to do it because I feel like I want to do it. Yes?
Real quick. After Adam just said that, why did you give that look? You don't believe – do you agree with him?
That what?
About that it's in that clubhouse that they need to fix first. That nobody on the outside.
Why'd I give that look? Because I don't think it's in John Lackey to turn his season around. I think that ship has sailed. I have a hard time believing that Jake Arrieta all of a sudden is going to turn into 2016 Arrieta, let alone 2015. That is a big reach. I have a hard time believing that Kyle Hendricks is going to get anywhere close to the level that he was at last year, coming off the disabled list and making a rehab start tomorrow in West Tennessee, and then hopefully he'll pitch against the Orioles after the break. I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. I also have a hard time believing that there are guys that I could see turning it around. Addison Russell, perhaps. I'm not going to give up on his career right now at all, or any of the hitting. But the last time I checked, despite all the brilliant baseball people that are out there right now, you do have to pitch to win, and their staff is just not very good right now.
Well, I don't think it's an absolute answer. I'm not saying that if everyone in the clubhouse just turned it around that they wouldn't need to have to go out and add somebody.
Yes.
The starting pitching is clearly falling off to the point where they do need to add someone, and I've been saying that Jose Quintana would be a great addition. They need more than Quintana. Let me give you CC Sabathia's 2008 with the Milwaukee Brewers.
That was a great addition.
An unbelievable addition.
Give me numbers.
he went 11-2, which doesn't really matter, but it does show how much he impacted the Brewers' win total. With a 1.65 ERA in 17 starts. Guess how many of those 17 starts were complete games?
10?
Seven.
Wow.
I mean, 7 out of 17 were complete games. 3 of those were shutouts. He threw 130 innings for the Brewers after that trade. Was just absolutely shut down phenomenal. And that's the kind of addition. I guess what I'm saying is their pitching is so screwed up right now that I think that's the kind of addition you need to go out and make. I don't know that you can even find that. I mean, Quintana's not going to give that to you. Quintana would give you a boost. Sonny Gray would give you a boost. Verlander could give you a boost. I'm not sure there's that CC Sabathia out there, though.
Don't give me that Verlander.
And I don't even know about that Sonny Gray either. I'm not paying a lot for him, I'll tell you that much. The guy's been hurt his entire career. I'm not giving you Ian Happ or anyone of that ilk to get Sonny Gray. Not happening. Let's get Matthew in here on 720 WGN with a different angle. 312-981-7200. Go ahead there, Matthew.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen? Just real quick point, just to kind of contextualize the whole stats that you guys kind of threw out in terms of the Cubs having one of the greatest drop-offs of the year in some ways. I feel like last year was kind of an outlier in some ways, where we have a lot of guys, they all went on to the All-Star team, but they really overachieved last year. Not to take anything away from what they did. It was amazing. It was great. This year, they're underachieving. But last year, I mean, why such a drop-off? Well, yes, they're underachieving this year. It's a drop-off. But last year was such a great, outlier as well in terms of the good performance, in terms of the run differential, in terms of the starting pitching. Everything was off the charts in terms of how well they did for the team that they had. So, I don't know, just a little bit of a contextualization of what we got going on. That's all.
Thanks, Matthew. That's appreciate true. It. I mean, you could make a pretty strong argument. Now, I know that it's not just how many RBIs you have or whatever, but you can make a pretty strong argument. Was Addison Russell ever going to drive in 95 runs again in his career? I'd guess not. Is Kyle Hendricks ever going to have the season that he had again last year? I'd say no. But the rest of them, like Chris Bryant is Chris Bryant. Anthony Rizzo is Anthony Rizzo. Like, I don't think John Lester has still got plenty in the tank, even though he's still going to have his moments where he's down. But like, I wouldn't say they overachieved, but some of them did. I think that's fair.
But if you look at the season as well, a lot of stuff kind of just fell into place. It was kind of like that perfect season for them after Kyle Schwarber goes down. There was no like catastrophic injuries after that. That guys stayed healthy. If you have a chance to do that and then also have some consistency, then that's what helps to move along once you get into the postseason as well. And you start kind of clicking together, and that's kind of what happened. This year we're starting to see guys where that guys on that starting staff are on the DL and things are kind of chipping away. And this year, the adversity for this team, they've had to face it early.
Well, it'll take some time to really see where these guys kind of settle in their careers. You know, if last year was more of what they are this year. But, you know, Matthew does, the caller gets to a decent idea here, you know, a good point. Baseball is hard. It's hard to bring a whole team of 25 guys together to win a World Series. You go through most World Series winners, and most of those teams really had it all come together in one season. It was no different with the White Sox in 2005. Go back up and down that lineup in their careers. Most of them had their best year in 2005, and it all came together. I think that's happening right now with the Houston Astros. Very talented team. Up and down that roster, though, they're very, very talented. They're playing at a very high level. It's all coming together. So
they won 19-1 today.
Goodness.
19-1.
So the Cubs did not have the worst loss of the day.
No, that's true. Amazing. They didn't. It's a nice way to end the first half, unlike the way the Cubs ended the first half. Here another good point. Like, if you look at last year's team versus this year's team, last year's team was incredible defensively. This year's team isn't. Mm-hmm. Kyle Schwarber, when he's in the lineup, is a below-average left fielder. That's the bottom line.
And that's the area where I'm not buying the last year they played over their heads. Defense is the one thing that should mostly stay consistent.
It should.
Unless it's a physical ability that wears off as you get older. You know, for and we're talking about range and ability to run and things like that. What we're seeing this year looks like concentration lapses.
Yeah,
I would point to Addison Russell specifically. A lot of those mistakes he's making are plays he should usually make, and
that's true.
The fall off defensively is where I'm not buying the play. They played over their heads last year. That's how good they should be defensively.
True. But they're not. If Schwarber's in your lineup every day or close to every day, you're not as good. And by the way,
That's a good point.
Another interesting, I think, little sidebar to this is if they are able to hang around and get back in this thing, at every season, Madden makes the call who his guys are. Hey, Starlin Castro, you're no longer playing shortstop. You're on the bench, and if you want to work your way back in the lineup, you'll be our second baseman. At some point, he's going to have to make that call. And right now, he can't do it because Schwarber is not ready to be an everyday guy. I would throw out that Ben Zobrist doesn't belong in the lineup every day. He's been brutal. Guy's hitting barely 200 with no pop whatsoever. He's hitting pitches that are right down the middle. If you watch it, just weak ground outs. He looks awful. There's a lot of guys. You couldn't even put a set lineup out there because these guys, no one has really stepped up outside of Bryant and Rizzo.
No consistency.
You couldn't do it.
Which is crazy because remember, it's just a couple months ago we were talking about how you couldn't fit all these guys in the lineup.
Right.
Yeah. You couldn't come up with a lineup where and then you know
it was always looked at as a good thing.
They're missing Dexter Fowler. There's no question about it.
Why do people think I'm crazy when I say that?
You go, I go, we go, well, all the way to the World Series.
Well, because you could say maybe they don't miss specifically Dexter Fowler, but they don't have a leadoff hitter.
No, they miss Dexter Fowler.
Yeah.
I think they miss him in the clubhouse. I think the team is a little stale. I think they're a little quiet. I think they could use some juice that way. Not that...
You should have traded for Adam Eaton.
That would have been it. A little rough year for you. How about this stat from...
could have thrown in Drake LaRoche into the deal.
How many games last year did the Cubs play that were a run differential of greater than five plus runs?
Wait, say it again.
5+ runs. How many the Cubs played? I'll tell you the answer. The Cubs played 55.
Am I the only one who just had no idea what he was talking about there?
I was going to ask him. Just tell me.
The Cubs played 55 games last year that were decided by 5 or more runs.
Okay, got it.
Okay, how many times do you think they won when they played
out of 55?
Yes, 5 or more.
I'm going to say 43.
I'm going to say 36.
It's okay. They were 42-13. Very good, Adam Hogue.
Thank you.
Gosh.
All right. This year so far, they've played 24 games that have been decided by 5 or more. How many have they won?
Out of 24.
I'm going to say 6.
8.
10. They're 10 and 14. They're under 500 by 4 games in blowouts this year. Last year, they were unbelievable.
Well, that's that. I mean, that explains right there the dramatic change in run differential.
Yeah. Thank you to Christopher Komka on Twitter, who is the king of all stats. God bless him. How about this one? Cubs first inning runs allowed. 2015, 75 in 162 games. That's the entire season. 2016, 71 in 162 games. All right. How many have they given up in 88 games this year? In 88. How many runs have they given up in the first inning? All season, 75 in 2015. All season in 16, 71.
I'm going to say
in 88 games, how many have they given up?
71.
80.
Hogue is like a cyborg today. 80 is the correct answer.
Whoa!
They have given up 9 more runs in the first inning this year than they gave up all of last season.
Starting off good.
Christopher Komka on Twitter at C Komka.
Who needs Chris Komka though when I can just give you the answer off the top of my
head? That's fine. You're good point, Hogue. I need no stats. I just look at you and ask and trust. 312-981-7200.
I own baseballreference.com.
You are an amazing talent. Kevin Powell's out at the yard. We'll hear from him and we'll hear from Joe Madden and company all coming up. 720 WGN. 355, 720 WGN. We are at the All-Star break. Did you say Bears?
Yeah. I actually saw it on Twitter. A couple people tweeting today.
Bears.
Looking forward to training camp because the Cubs are so bad.
Well, Dan Hampton had Hampo Bear went postal on
He said it before. He said that before.
Yeah, I think he has.
If y'all missed the comments, he said that if Jay Cutler had quarterbacked the Super Bowl champion 1985 Bears, they would have won four Super Bowls. He said before five. So he dropped down one.
He dropped down one?
Yeah. Hamp, OB, and Kaz coming back to a radio station called 720 WGN come Bears season.
Yes.
Which we all look forward to. If Cutler had quarterbacked that team, I don't know if they would have won one. Cutler would have somehow just poisoned the whole atmosphere.
That's a dumb statement.
Really dumb.
Oh, that would have poisoned the atmosphere of the team that was already completely psycho and had the craziest people in the locker room ever.
And a defense that was, they'll always get it back for you or probably score more than the offense would.
34 would have wanted to kill Cutty.
Cutty wouldn't have to do that much. I mean, he just hand it off and make sure. Look at that offensive line, too, that he had. Come on.
You know who believes that Cutler could have done much better things in Chicago if – you know, the franchise had helped him a little bit more in certain areas.
Phil Emery?
Martellus Bennett.
Interesting.
Marty ranked him third, all the quarterbacks he's played with. He ranked him third behind Rodgers, who, by the way, he put Rodgers number one over Tom Brady, even though he just won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, has not yet played a game with Aaron Rodgers. However, I kind of sort of slightly agree with him.
Martellus doesn't always make most sense, but I love Martellus. Yeah.
You're about to go play with Aaron Rodgers, so why not just say him?
I think Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in football. I think Tom Brady's the best who's ever played the game.
Yeah, but if I had to take one, I would probably take A-Rod.
Yeah, I would too. Sorry. Then he put Cutler ahead of Eli Manning and Tony Romo.
What?
Okay, that's just wrong.
Not over Tony Eli.
Tony Romo's a better quarterback than Cutler, too. Tony Romo's numbers are incredible in Dallas.
Yeah, but he ain't won anything.
Yeah.
So what?
I'd still take Tony Romo over Cutty all day. Come on. Tony Romo had never had a great running attack.
I'm stopping right after Eli. You can have Cutler and your guy if you want to. Sorry.
I can't believe we just got to go deep football. Kevin Powell will be with us from Wrigley Field.
2.5 weeks away, baby.
Right after the 4 o'clock news.
Bourbon A
in 2.5 weeks. That makes me excited. And I always, after the 4th of July, I just, it's like I'm back in school. And I start thinking about the end of summer. And all of a sudden, I got to go sit in a classroom. And I'm in my 40s. So it's not really going to happen to me. But I hate the summer coming to an end.
That is how I feel, though, like, with my schedule, because I get, like, a summer here, and then it's like going back to school on July 26th when the Bears report. Like, and I'm at this point, I'm, like, counting down the days.
Listen, I'm counting down the days till my son goes to school. This whole summer vacation thing is for the birds. kindergarten.
How's he doing? What does he do all day long? What's dad?
He's in camps all day, man. Okay.
He plays baseball all day. From the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed.
He was at Cubs camp from 9 o'clock until 3 p.m. last week, every single day except for 4th of July.
I went to Iman Shumpert of the Cleveland Cavaliers, his camp this week. And we might play some of that in the 5 o'clock hour. All I wanted to do was be a camper. Just let me play hoop and have an NBA guy out there playing around with me. It looked so fun.
Did you go to Jordan camp?
No.
Okay.
No. Come on,
now. I was just wondering.
I'm not living that.
I mean, I know where you live.
Yeah, no.
You told me, you know, championships running around the streets.
I never went to Mike's camp. Hey, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio. Sound from Wrigley, Kevin Powell from Wrigley.
Bears,
not from Wrigley.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
The All-Star break is here. I guess, thank God. I don't know. Is that appropriate? I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hoge. He's Jared Payton.
The Cubs are one out away from being 5.5 games back of the Milwaukee Brewers at the All-Star break. The Brewers trying to hold on to a 2-run lead in the Bronx.
Been in it. What kind of odds would you have gotten that the Cubs would be 5.5 back of the Brewers if you had bet that at the start of the year?
Ooh.
Kevin Powell put that wager down. That's why he's flowing in the money. And he joins us now from somewhere around Wrigley Field. KP, what'd that locker room look like? How did John Lester handle the fact that he didn't make it out of the first inning and Joe Maddon left him out there when he was absolutely positively done?
They're frustrated. They're perplexed. Nobody can really put a finger on exactly what's going wrong here. I've never seen John Lester that upset after a game. It was his worst outing ever in his entire career. Chris Bryant, not happy. He made an error. I've never seen them this down, for sure. And, yeah, this All-Star break is much, much needed.
So, I mean, did you get the sense that anything out of the ordinary happened in the locker room after the game? Any speeches? Or is it just, all right, here's 4 days off. We'll see you on Friday.
That's kind of what it is. I mean, I don't think it's anything like a broken locker room or anything like that. I mean, it's just, I think everybody's frustrated. This whole season, it sort of felt like, you know, kick the can down the road. Like, we'll pick it up here. This feels like a series. We're going to kick it into high gear. Maybe this homestand, things will turn around. It just hasn't happened. They keep pushing it off. So I don't know if it's a World Series hangover, if they've played too much baseball over the past couple of years, yada, yada, yada. We've heard every excuse. The bottom line is, they're just not playing that good of baseball. And there's plenty of talent here. I mean, look, they can go make a trade over the next few weeks. That's fine. I don't really know who they're even going to get. I think most of their answers are on the roster anyway. If you're going to win another World Series, it's because of the guys that won you a World Series last year. I mean, you pretty much have, what, 90% of the team from last year. So, sure, a trade can inject some life into the team. Sure, a starting pitcher would be huge now and down the road. But you have majority of the answers on your roster. It's just simply guys playing better.
Yeah, that's – we were just talking about how Hoag was mentioning just about listening to Theo and saying that a lot of it is inside that locker room and that clubhouse and guys have to be able to figure it out. But, KP, you look at this team kind of limping into the All-Star break. What are your opinions on what they're going to do after when they come back out? Do you have the belief? Because a lot of people now are still – I feel like people are wavering on which direction they think this team can actually head.
Well, again, it's one of those things, right? Like, oh, they'll get the All-Star break. They'll get a few days off, and then everything will be fine when they come back. But, again, to the point that I just made, that's sort of been the narrative all year, right? They just keep saying that, and fans have sort of said that too. Like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine until you're 10 games back and there's 2 weeks left in the season and your title defense goes to waste. So, yeah, to me, honestly, guys, I think it's maybe a lack of focus. They're playing some sloppy baseball, some really bad baseball. Nothing like what we saw last year when it was crisp, it was clean, it was exactly how Joe Maddon wanted it. And this year, that just hasn't been the case. So maybe it is a focus thing. I'm not going to call out individual players, but maybe it is their lack of focus in the locker room, lack of focus with these guys. But, you know, it depends on these guys that are on the roster that are here now to turn things around. Because if you're waiting for them to make a move or bring somebody up to bring some life into the team, or waiting for Schwarber to get hot, then you are going to lose the division. Then you are not going to make the postseason. So it's up to the guys on the roster that they have now, same guys that won a World Series last year, to do it. Because I don't think a trade or anything like that is really going to save the season.
They won 3 in a row and 4 of 5 from June 16th to June 20th, taking 2 of 3 from the Pirates and 2 of 3 from the Padres. They lost the last game of that series. They had a chance to sweep them. And outside of that, it's loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, loss, win, loss, loss, win. I mean, we get the point here. Did Maddon say anything interesting afterwards, or did he want to throw this one in the trash can too?
That's what he said, because somebody said it the other day. You said you were throwing that game in the trash, and he said, yeah, this one's going right next to it. I did think Chris Bryant had some interesting I don't know how I'd put it. He certainly wasn't he was asked about fans booing John Lester as Lester walked off the diamond. Not sure if you guys caught that. People were a little frustrated here at Wrigley Field today. And he was like, I don't get it. I mean, he wasn't really lashing out at fans or anything like that. He just said he didn't get fans booing, considering Lester was a huge part of the team last year and all that, and how good of a pitcher he is in general. I don't know what your guys' take on that is, but if a pitcher gives up 10 runs, four of them earned in one inning, I think you're allowed to boo. I think that's just fine.
I don't think that matters right now. Here, you know, the throwing the thing in the trash can, the game in the, you know, whatever. Yeah. That reminds me of the 2014 Chicago Bears when they got blasted in New England. And Lamar Houston's tearing his ACL, doing a sack dance and a blowout. And then they come out, oh, we're just going to throw this one away. Got a bye week. We're not really worried about it. And then they come back after the bye, and they get blasted by the Packers. And it's like a billion to nothing by halftime. Oh, we're just going to throw this one in the trash can too. And it's kind of just ignoring the problem. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, but not. But
yeah,
hold on, real
exactly.
quick.
It's kicking the can down the road. It's been like that all season.
They open up with the Orioles, and there's confidence out there because of their schedule. They play a lot of teams under 500 in the second half. All right, we're gonna play Lester coming back here, KP. It sounds to me like, I mean, is there anything that stands out that you're sitting there? I can't believe he said that, or was he just depressed? Or disappointed.
Who's that?
Lester.
Say that again. You cut it with Lester or Bryant?
Lester.
Oh, Lester was, like I said, probably the most upset I've ever seen. He didn't really say anything. He just says, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It was just a bad outing. He was frustrated. And like I said, it's almost a microcosm of the season. Nobody really can put a finger on anything specific to why they're mediocre. Two games under 500. Nobody can really figure it out.
Okay. All right. Well, they'll figure it out. They'll just come out of the break and they'll sweep the Orioles. No problem. No biggie. KP, you the man, brother. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
Kevin Powell out at Wrigley Field.
The Brewers did win. 5.5 back, the Cubs are. And the White Sox are getting no hit in Colorado.
I still have a bone to pick with Mr. Adam Hoge.
Can we hear John Lester right now? I want to hear John Lester.
I don't know. I mean, if I had a reason, it would have been fixed out there. You know, unfortunately, I mean, it's never a good time to have a bad start. But, you know, I mean, I really don't know. I don't know what to say to make it better, to give you a reason to really need to say anything. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. It's embarrassing.
How did they get away from you out there, John? Was it just location? Or?
I mean, second pitch of the game, I thought I threw a really good pitch, and the guy hits a laser. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, nothing I can say can justify or give you a reason behind today. So, I mean, I think it pretty much speaks for itself. Like I said, it's embarrassing, so. Anything else said about it is probably not the right thing.
And what's the mindset of the club going into this All-Star break, 43-45, and to a man, nobody wants that record. What's the mindset about kind of regrouping now and having a stronger second half?
I think people just want to get away, move, you know, get away from this, get away from the grind. You know, everybody's been, I mean, it's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of preparation. But for whatever reason it is what it is. So we got to come back, take 4 days, regroup, refresh, and show up on Friday ready to. I think the big thing for us is just play good baseball, play solid baseball. Forget the record, forget the our batting averages, our ERAs, or wins loss, whatever, and just get back to playing good sound baseball. And the talent on this team will speak for itself.
Mental toughness, will that you think that'll push you guys through knowing how many champions you have floating around in that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, we've been there, we've done it, you know. It's easy when you're on top. It's easy when you're ahead. It's easy to fake it. It's easy to sweep the stuff you don't like under the rug when you're winning. It's hard when you're losing. So we got to... We got to regroup, come back, and like I said, in 4 days, and be ready to go.
What is it, Southwest Airlines? Want to get away? Time to get away.
I think they'd be flying away.
Got to get away.
Different ways than Southwest Airlines.
The Cubs have officially turned into Southwest Airlines.
Gotta get away, man.
Want to get away? I just think guys want to get away.
Hogue, it's like the bye week for football. You know how guys are trying to get out of there and just get away from playing and just like ease your mind. And
well, John Lester is right with one thing for sure, is when they come back in Baltimore on Friday, they just, let's start with just playing better baseball.
That's it.
I know that sounds so simple, but they're really just, for again, throw out the numbers like John just said, throw out the batting average, blah, blah, blah. Just play better baseball.
That's it.
They've been playing such bad baseball.
I think wherever they have to go, they should have to fly Southwest. No first class. They shouldn't be in priority boarding.
You don't get to pick your seat.
No.
Ahead of time.
You guys have forfeited all rights. I don't care how much money.
They should be stuck in the middle seat.
Right.
Don't do that.
That's what they deserve right now. We're the Cubs. That's Cub. It's not about resting on the laurels of 2016. You're under 500 at the break. You have to fly Southwest, and you got to go middle seat, and you're in the C boarding. You're a C boarder. You're C-12.
This is a C-12 team.
That's right.
It is.
And you're lucky there's not a D boarding class. Right now, I mean, that was an F performance by John Lester today, and I love John Lester. And I love this team.
Hey,
they should be flying Southwest.
Do I have an option to get a meal on here if I pay a credit card or what?
No, you get the peanut or pretzel. That's it.
They give you that little bag of those
no
pretzels.
No peanuts anymore. There's like six of them in there.
There's like six pretzels that are like the size of your fingernail in the bag.
And that's supposed to hold me over.
You get your 4-hour flight to California.
And no free drink tickets for the $5 Miller Lite either. You're in on soda. You get yourself a tomato juice.
Well, I was flying on a guest pass anyway, so...
Three.
No, that's not eligible.
Oh, it's
you're not eligible. You got to pay the non-refundable price.
Oh, Carm, don't you think it's that simple? I mean, every time you hear someone talking, even listen to Lester talk, he's having a hard time wrapping his head around it. And it's not like they're trying to dive into all this stuff. It's just we have to play better.
Yeah, but he just talked about he threw a great second pitch of the game and they just smoked it. That is not exactly a confidence booster for a pitcher. You think you made a great pitch, and it's balls flying, exit velocity 110 miles an hour, not a good sign.
Well, that sometimes happens, but you can't let it turn into a 10-run inning. You got your third pitch has got to be good, too.
How many times did he say, I don't know, in that?
Three.
In three?
Yeah.
I think it was at least 15 in that three-minute clip. We could.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I don't know.
It was more than three.
I don't know.
He had more than three in his first answer.
It was I don't know and want to get away. That's all I heard, actually. I don't know. Want to get away. Want to get away. Time to get away.
Sounds like a Southwest mixed in with a Snickers commercial.
Ooh, that's the thing. That is exactly right.
That's it.
The Cubs are the Snickers commercial. They need to eat a Snickers. They don't look like themselves.
I need a Snickers right now.
Hey, we came up with it. Look at this.
They need some nougat or whatever's in that Snickers.
Oh, that sounds good.
They need some packed with peanuts. We need some satisfaction. And we need a Southwest Airlines flight. And everything's going to be perfect with this ball club. Again, I'm good. It's Dan Long. I can hear you listening to John Lester. Are you counting the I don't knows in there? I don't know.
I am, yeah.
Oh,
I'm up to five, and it's not even done with not even out of the first minute.
I don't know. We could have a drinking game, Lester. I don't know.
After that.
Oh, there's a lot more.
All right. Well, 312-981-7200. We're going to find out how good the Brewers are at the bottom of the hour. But we do have one segment here where you can vent on the Cubs if you'd like. Who has disappointed you the most? Is it the manager? Is it one of the starters? Is it one of the everyday players? 312-981-7200. I'll give you my answer. You guys can think about that too. Most disappointing Cubs, 720 WGN.
Oh, we're not happy. Of course, guys are frustrated, but that's just a normal human reaction, I think. So we just have to get beyond that. Come back in the second half, play like we're capable of playing, but only to learn from the first half, not to the point, there's nobody quitting or giving up or relinquishing anything right now. We are frustrated. We're not playing our game. And the big thing is, like I've talked about, get the starting pitching back in order, and our situational hitting has to come to bear too.
Joe Maddon. How does that work exactly? Get the starting pitching back in order. I suppose Kyle Hendricks coming off the DL is a huge part of that. John Lester pitching better is a big part of that. And then the rest of it, Jake Arrieta is going to just round it into form. Jake Arrieta looked good last night, and then he didn't.
Jake Arrieta's problem is that he's lost his velocity, so he sort of, I think, has figured out how to pitch without it early, but then you get the second, third time around the order, and that's a problem. You know, you can't just reinvent yourself once you lose velocity, but it's kind of hard to do in the middle of the year.
Mike Montgomery actually has pitched well. There's one guy.
Well, that was the whole part,
wait,
though.
Didn't
wasn't
I
it?
See Mike Montgomery just get lit up the other
he
night?
Yes, he did.
He did.
I was like, was that a dream or did
it happen?
Okay,
you're right about Arrieta's velocity. I'm trying to sniff out positives. Like Montgomery's pitched well, except for the game against the Brewers. He pitched well today too.
Yeah,
the one thing that always kind of set well with me was that maybe when you looked at starting pitching, that you didn't have to worry about Lester. He was a guy that you didn't have to worry about. Today is something to worry about.
I mean.
Gosh,
he's gonna make a start every 5 days, so that he's not going anywhere. Hopefully, he'll pitch. He's had a pretty mostly a good first half. Today was obviously a disaster, and I've seen enough of Eddie Butler. Eddie Butler would look great as the long guy in that bullpen. I'd be down with Eddie Butler as the if we get into extra innings. Here comes Edward Butler.
Eddie Butler sounds like a bad Bears third string running back.
Maybe he is.
I just love the fact that you keep going to the Bears. I love it. It's almost here.
Let's bring in Coach, who always has a unique perspective when he dials up the show.
What's up, Coach?
Coach,
a unique perspective, huh? Thank you very much.
No problem.
That's a compliment, Coach.
I'm not sure I like the way you said unique, but I'll take it as a compliment. But Adam, Jared, Carmen, always a privilege and an honor to be on. Gentlemen.
Damn right it is, buddy.
Thank you.
Courtesy of Winnetka Steve, sat about 10 rows beyond the on the third base side, quality seats today, sat in our seats with the peanuts and beer in hand for the first inning and proceeded to watch 10 runs cross the board, so that kind of messed that up. But keep the faith. I think they'll be all right in the second half of the season. I think they'll find a way to pull it out.
Outside of the many beers that you drank today, although I actually think you had one, knowing the coach, I don't think you're paying $10 for a beer on a healthy level. What brings your optimism today, Coach?
Well, you could say, what's the catcher's name? Victor Caratini?
Sure. That's his name.
The Victor Caratini era has begun, and on top of that, I'm still coming off the high of the Chicago Sky women's basketball team knocking off the Minnesota Lynx last night. The first place Lynx going down to the Sky. So I'm still riding the high on women's basketball.
I love you, Coach. I really do.
I mean, you realize that Cub fans right now are driving into a tree looking for hope, and you're calling up one of the greatest radio stations in the country, and we're asking you a serious question, Coach, as to why you have optimism for the second half of the season, you being in the ballpark today, and you start throwing out Chicago Sky basketball. I mean, what kind of contribution is that to the plight that is the Chicago Cubs right now?
26 points for Courtney Vandersloot.
She's a beast.
Coach, are you referring to the 4-12 Chicago Sky?
It's been rough.
Coach, did you see Elena Della Don was taunting Lonzo Ball? Did you see that?
Tell Adam they were 3-12 24 hours ago. let me give you a semi-serious for the Cubs.
Here's
my angle on it. It's starting to lose effect, but here's been my angle all along. If they started off real strong this year like they did last year, the team would have had maybe a slightly false sense of invincibility that were that good. By struggling the first half of the season, now they're taking the struggle to a limit that maybe they don't need to go, but by struggling, it's going to give them that edge. They're not going to be overconfident. It's going to force them to fight and be feisty, and once they find their way, you could argue that maybe they'll be a better team for it.
One of the great perspectives ever given by the coach.
Yeah.
That actually, if they can fight their way through, they'll be a better team.
Yes. And think about it. If they find a way to make the playoffs, it sounds trite, but would you want to be the team that plays them in the first round?
If the way things are right now, yes, I'd love to play the Cubs. But speaking to your grander vision that they fought through and all of a sudden they found their rhythm, then no. So, all right.
The Victor Caratini era has begun.
I love Victor
Caratini. Well, Coach, I'll summarize that the same way the Chicago Tribune summarized their full page spread on the Chicago Sky today's Tribune. Bottom line, a tough sell.
Not for Coach. He's got season tickets. He'll be at – who's the next game that the Sky play? I know you know.
I believe it's an 11:30 camp day. So they do a Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday early morning game, camp day. So if you want to come out, Mark, there'll be a lot of various camps, a lot of 8 to 13-year-old kids swarming the Allstate Arena. And I believe it is Indiana, but I could be wrong. But it's 11:30 Wednesday. Be there. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, Coach. And for the record,
I live closest to there, so.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, Coach and I could meet up.
You could meet up with Coach.
Going to work.
What did he say? Who they play? Indiana?
He said it could be Indiana.
It could be Indiana. It's not Indiana. It's Dallas. It's the Dallas.
Dallas has a team?
Yeah, the Dallas Wings will be
what
taking on.
The Dallas Wings, that's not a real team.
That's not a real team.
It says it right here.
That's not a team.
11:30 tippy is absolutely correct at the Allstate Arena. Then the Sky go out the road to play the Liberty, Dallas, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Connecticut. Okay, I've lost my mind.
You 4:30 are right. The Wings.
4:32. Let's get into the newsroom at 4:30. Look who's here early today. It is Roger Bannis. Right after the news, Mike Heller will break down the Brewers and why the Cubs can perhaps catch them or can't.
Chance here for the crew, and there's a long fly ball deep.
Travis Shaw, one of the many reasons why the Brewers are much better than we thought this year. Matt LaPay on that call today.
I want you to be completely honest right now, Adam Hogue.
Yeah.
What do you know about Travis Shaw? No judgment here.
Well, I know he came over in the Tyler Thornburg trade.
Get him, Hogue.
Thornburg, the guy from Die Hard?
Yes.
The TV
the guy
personality?
From Die Hard, the Brewers traded him. That's how good the Brewers front office is now. They traded a movie character to Boston and got Travis Shaw.
So, okay. That's a decent answer, I suppose, on who Travis Shaw is, who hits in the middle of the Brewers lineup, and nobody knows who any of the Brewers are, and they're all beating the Cubs, just
well,
for the record.
Well, look, this is why we have Mike Heller coming on the program right now. We've spent over 90 minutes now discussing why the Cubs are not good. And then the other part of this equation is what is going on with the Brewers and why are they good? And why are, especially in the last week, everyone in this city, Mike, kind of realizing, well, maybe you can't sleepwalk to a division title this year. So Mike Heller, who's a radio host in Wisconsin, Big 920, Big 1070, fills in for Dan Patrick, fills in for Rich Eisen. Mike, want to start here. First of all, how did the Brewers get to 50 wins already? Why are they this good? Because we didn't expect this.
No, I don't think anybody expected it. I think the over-under win total for Milwaukee was in the low 70s. I don't think anybody saw this coming. I think the good thing about what they've been able to do, Adam, is they can hit from every spot in the lineup. They didn't expect to get the production that they got from the catching position, but they've got it from Manny Pena. Initially, they got it also from Jet Fandy, all guys nobody's heard of, right? So they pick up Stephen Vogt off waivers a couple of weeks ago. Domingo Santana came over in a trade with Houston a couple of years ago. That was a Doug Melvin deal. He's been really good in the middle of the order. Shaw, who you guys were just talking about, had no place in Boston. Didn't fit in their plans at third base. Didn't love the media scrutiny. He comes over and he's raked. Eric Thames, I think that story has been pretty well chronicled. Nobody knew what to expect there. They've just continued to get it. You know, they've done a lot of their work without Ryan Braun, who would be the three hitter in their lineup. He, again, didn't play today with calf tightness yesterday and has missed, you know, about a month and a half or more of the season so far. So nobody saw it coming, but they hit from all different spots in the order, and they mashed. They hit a lot of home runs, and pitching has been good enough.
Mike, I've been extensively reading about the Brewers, and it's taking years off my life, actually. But literally, and I don't want to start a controversy here because I'm sure this is all above board, even though there is that Ryan Braun guy on there who lied and lied and lied and lied, and then he got caught and got suspended, and now he's whatever. Maybe above board, but literally every single Brewer has added velocity onto where they were last year. Chase Anderson's in that mix. Jimmy Nelson's in that mix. You have guys performing offensively like they never have before. Is anybody discussing how in the world are all these guys just transforming themselves before our very eyes?
Well, I don't know that I see what you're trying to do. I'm not going to take all of the bait. I'll take a little bit of it. Jimmy Nelson is a guy who is right in the beginning of his prime. So he was going to get better, stronger. Chase Anderson would be a question. But he's also, you know, they added a new pitching coach a year ago. And in that, I think that they've made some changes in how they work with some of their guys in release points and mechanics. And I think that's had some impact. Shaw got out of Boston, and he wasn't a regular in Boston. He played, he was a platoon. He played against right-handed pitching, and not all the time. And in the media center that Boston is, I don't know if it necessarily fit well with him. So I think he's really comfortable. You know, on the velocity, I think if you check, pretty much everybody in Major League Baseball is up on velocity. In part because of how they measure. I think they measure it now immediately out of the hand. So I think everybody's numbers are up a little bit. But of the guys you mentioned, I think only Chase Anderson would be somebody who you would have not expected to add velocity. Nelson's right in the beginning of the prime. And a guy like Corey Knebel, again, that's a great trade piece. And he's not throwing harder than he has in the past. He's just kind of mastered, or at least can use it as a weapon, his breaking pitch, which is ridiculous. But when he can't throw for a strike like he couldn't yesterday, you know, people still hit his fastball, and they hit it for a three-run homer to lose yesterday in New York.
The big report earlier this week, Mike, was that by John Morosi of Fox, that the Brewers are looking for pitching, Jose Quintana, Sonny Gray, whoever. How's their farm system? Do they have the pieces that could bring somebody like that back that maybe the White Sox would be interested in?
The only way the Brewers do this is for a controllable younger pitcher. So Quintana, maybe. Sonny Gray, maybe. It depends on what they'd have to give up in return. The Brewers are really stacked in the minor league system, especially from outfielders. I think Lewis Brinson would be an untouchable in their minor league system, and I don't know if they have any others. So I think they would do it if they get a controllable pitcher. The Brewers will not rent a starting pitcher to take them through September. So if they make a deal for Quintana, and you have to refresh my memory, I think he's under club control for two more years.
Three more.
Three more. And Sonny Gray is this and two more. So you have the opportunity to add a pitcher if that pitcher is somebody that you control for a couple of years. David Stearns would do that. Mark Attanasio would agree to that. They won't go rent one. They won't do what, you know, what maybe Chicago, what the Cubs might do. I don't think the Brewers are going to do what they've done in the past and rent somebody like they did with CC Sabathia all those years ago.
That's the second CC Sabathia reference of our show today, because we were just talking about how the Cubs need exactly that. Which is hard to find, the way CC Sabathia was so good in 2008 for the Brewers. He's Mike Heller. You can follow him on Twitter at Heller Sports. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton, all here with you, trying to figure out why the Brewers are good. Mark Carmen apparently thinks it's steroids.
No,
I don't agree with him.
I'm just asking the question. No.
You brought it up.
One guy after another, he did Pilates in the offseason. Now he's throwing 5 miles an hour faster. I'm like, oh, hey. I didn't know it worked that way.
Sounds like Jake Arrieta to me.
Yes.
Mike, come on,
fair
man.
Fair enough. Hey, Mike, you know that a lot of my family resides in Wisconsin, and I saw a lot of them over 4th of July weekend. And I'm curious the reaction you're getting from Brewer fans, because I, you know, start talking to them about the Brewers, and there's these, you know, reports of Quintana and things like this coming up, and I'm going, you know, where they are in their rebuilding phase, buying right now doesn't really seem like the best option. You just kind of explain what you think they'll actually do and only go after long-term options, but what's the reaction you're getting from Brewer fans in terms of what they should do this season right now to try to outlast the Cubs?
Well, I think from a fan perspective, I don't think this will surprise you. Fans always want you to go get it. You know, you've got this opportunity now. Go get it. That's what fans always want. So what I think the really cool thing with the Brewers is that they're wired the way Theo Epstein is wired. With a young team a couple of years ago, he wasn't going to go buy unless that buy was for player control, club control of that player. So I think that the best thing that the Brewers have going for them is that David Stearns, the young GM that came over from Houston, is not in a mortgage your future, go for it now mode. This roster, and I think one of the other things maybe Mark can buy into more than the juice is that the Brewers all have the only guy that they're paying any money to right now, two guys, Matt Garza, who's a surprise because he's been serviceable, and Ryan Braun, who's missed, almost half of the first half of the season. Everybody else is in a contract mode. They're all young, and there's a lot of competition on this roster for playing time. So they're all kind of going to get it. And they don't know that they can't do it, which is the great thing about some young rosters is they don't know that they're not supposed to be playing, at 9 or 10 games over 500 with a 5.5 game lead at the All-Star break. It would help if they added a pitcher. I think anybody that's watched rosters before, when you add a pitcher, the position players get a boost. So if they go get Sonny Gray or Jose Quintana, I think that Milwaukee, I think they're for real already, but I think the roster would really begin to understand that there's a great opportunity here in front of them if they were to go add a frontline starting pitcher.
All right, Mike, every time I go to ask a question, my two counterparts stole questions from me. It's okay.
Dog-eat-dog world, buddy.
But it's all good, Mike. But I was in Wisconsin as well, and talking to a lot of my wife's family, I think the take was, she's got a big family, was that, well, you know what, the Brewers will find a way to be able to mess it up. That's the conversations that I was having. And you mentioned it a little bit about having, young guys on the roster that they don't really understand the mentality. But it's a switch that's in this city where you have Cubs fans that are expecting a lot. And I think that goes a long way with a team that it does have some young players that are trying to figure things out to be able to say, listen, it can be real as long as you kind of keep your head focused like this team seems like they're doing.
Yeah, and I think the really good thing there, Jared, is that Craig Counsell is that way. And he's their manager who has been here, who didn't do it with great talent. Craig was a talented guy. You don't get to the bigs and have the success he did without being greatly talented. But he played against guys who had more skills than he did. So he always kept his nose to the grindstone and took it just day to day. And I think I think there's a really good manager on the north side of Chicago that is creative in finding ways. And I think there's a kind of a blue-collar approach to Craig Counsell that his roster has they've reflected in what he does. So I think it's a fair question to wonder if, as we get into August and September, if this young roster will handle those moments well, because it gets tighter. And it gets tougher to hang on and do the things you're supposed to do when the games seem to matter a little bit more in late August and September. And that's yet to be seen. And when the last Brewers team that had an opportunity choked it away, the 2014 Ron Renneke managed team, they had kind of done it with some smoke and mirrors early and then just couldn't hold on. And once it started going downhill, they couldn't stop that snowball. And it cost Renneke his job and eventually Melvin was farmed out too for David Stearns as the GM. But, it's a fair question to ask about how they'll handle the back half of August and September. But for Brewers fans so far, and a heck of a lot better than anybody had imagined so far, so good.
Yep. Speaking of choking it away, just looking at that series in September, 4 games in Milwaukee, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. That would just be a beautiful time for the Cubbies to come in there, down 2 games, to leave up 2 after sweeping the Brew Crew, and then on to St. Louis to clinch the division, Mike.
Well, and you know what it'll be? It will be, it's not a home series for the Brewers. It's already a home series for the Cubs. They've already, purchased 2/3 of the tickets at Miller Park for that series. So wouldn't that be extraordinary if that series decided something and it's essentially Wrigley Field North with a roof closed? And at least that way there won't be any rainouts on days that it doesn't rain.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Friday, September the 22nd. I'm on Vivid Seats right now. I got to get a couple ducats to go on up. Stop at maybe hit up a Major Goolsby's on the way. That's at least my Bradley Center, now BMO Harris Bank. Yep. When I go see the Bucks play. All right. Anyway, I love the rivalry, Mike. It's fun when both the Brewers and the Cubs are in there, and that's certainly the case right now.
That'd be really cool in September that happens.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be great.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Heller Sports. He hosts the Mike Heller Show across the state of Wisconsin, fills in for Dan Patrick sometimes as well. Thanks so much for coming on, Mike, and we'll be talking football pretty soon, too. Enjoy Martellus Bennett. He's a radio host dream.
Oh, I will look forward to it. Can't wait. He's already the locker room interview of choice. So get in line, I suppose, when we get up there. But we'll look forward to it. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, see you, Mike. That's Mike Heller. Yeah, Marty is
interesting.
We already brought what Marty's bringing to the table up.
How about that series though?
In September?
Yeah,
they got one in two weeks.
They play them at the end of the month. And they have three with the Brewers in September at Wrigley, at September 8th, 9th, 10th. And then they go back to Milwaukee for four. Will the Cubs be within four games, up or down, when that series happens in late September?
Yes, because I don't see how they could be four up.
I could see how they could be eight out.
That could be happening too.
Well, they are 5.5 out now.
That's what I'm saying.
So they'd have to get at least gain 1.5.
Right. They have to gain ground. All right, quick timeout. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we're bringing back one of the great segments in radio history. It's called Hoag's Headlines.
We did it 2 weeks ago. You weren't here.
Oh, well.
So you're not bringing it back.
No, you're not.
Harry brought it back.
Well, I feel left out and shunned all at the same time, and now I think the tease was terrible, and I apologize. But Hoag Headlines are coming up regardless after 5, 720 WGN. .455, the All-Star break is here for the Cubs, not quite for the White Sox. 10-0, the Sox trailing the Colorado Rockies out in Denver. As the first half at least has gone to form for the White Sox.
You left out that lead there, though.
What was the lead?
The lead is that's a no-hitter situation.
Oh, I didn't even know they were getting no-hit.
I'm trying to jinx it.
We were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that's only the third time I've mentioned
it. He did mention it. I'm just...
On the radio or off the radio?
It was on the radio.
On the radio. That's a good sign for me in my future. way to be present, Carm. Way to be there. Way to be with the team.
Do you know who the...
You're doing a lot over there, man. Don't ever feel bad.
Do you know who the only pitcher to throw a no-hitter in Coors Field is?
The only pitcher to ever throw a no-hitter at Coors Field. Jaime Navarro.
No way you get the answer, but you're going to love the answer.
I'm not even going to guess.
I'll go with old-school Cub Jim Bullinger.
Hideo Nomo.
I do remember the Hideo Nomo. No-no.
No-no. 1996, September 17th, 1996. He's the only pitcher to throw a no-hitter at Coors Field. That is courtesy of at Right Sox.
Wasn't Hideo Nomo a Cub for a second? Does anybody remember that? Am I wrong about...
Wasn't he?
Hideo?
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Ted Lilly was.
Was Hideo Nomo ever a Cub? Why am I thinking...
I don't think he was.
Why am I thinking that Hideo Nomo was a Cub?
Hideo Nomo?
Hideo Nomo was never a Cub.
Oh! Yeah. Every no-hitter has a tremendous defensive play, and I think it just happened in Colorado.
Charlie Blackmon just made an incredible catch.
Yeah, he did. To rob my guy, Yolmer.
Yeah. Hideo Nomo. I guess maybe I thought because I was in Kansas City and he pitched for the Royals. Maybe
that is the most random thought I've maybe ever heard that just was completely not true.
That Hideo Nomo was a Cub?
Yeah.
Maybe it was maybe it was the day that the Cubs absolutely ripped Hideo Nomo. That's what it was. There was one game I think against the Dodgers, and I was afraid of Hideo Nomo. And then I think it was like
you were afraid of Hideo Nomo.
I was, and I think like Hesop Choi just went like yard on Hideo Nomo.
I think we talked that day too.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Nomo started an All-Star game, didn't he?
Dan Long, do you remember Hideo Nomo getting worked by the Cubs?
No.
Come on, dude. Dan, help him out.
Hang on a second here. I guarantee you on a Google search, of course, at WGN, we go to Bing first, and then you got to put in Google. Hideo Nomo.
Isn't that great when you got to use a different search engine to Google Google?
Rocked by Cubs. I'm telling you, it's going to come up.
It doesn't.
Texter says Nomar was a Cub. I hear
Cubs
people
sign Hideo
that.
Nomo. He was a Cub. The Cubs signed Hideo Nomo is the first thing that came up. Hideo Nomo.
Is that from like Breitbart or something?
This is CBS Sports. Hideo Nomo, who went from the NL Rookie of the Year 1985 to the waiver wire this spring, signed a minor league contract with the Cubs today. Nomo, 30, will start the season at Triple A Iowa. See?
He pitched for the Iowa Cubs?
Nomo was a Cub. Mark Grace was quoted, "I'm kind of excited about it. If he's healthy, the guy's a dominant pitcher. Having faced him, I know how dominating a pitcher he can be." Hideo Nomo.
All right, Mark Grace. Settle down, Mark Grace.
I'm sorry.
No, don't ever doubt me again. Hideo Nomo.
I apologize.
I doubted you.
But what did he ever pitch for the Cubs?
No.
So you're still maybe kind of wrong.
Not according to stats that I'm looking at. Hideo Nomo never made it. But the Cubs.
Did he actually make a start for the Iowa Cubs?
I'm sure he did. Nomo. Hideo Nomo.
Yeah, looks like he had some thing in his contract where if they were going to make him make more than three starts in AAA, the contract was null and void and they would release him. And that happened.
Dan
so
Long,
he never saw it.
So he signed a minor league deal in which if he made more than three minor league starts, he went bye-bye.
Not seeing anything about the Cubs rocking Nomo. All I got is Cubs shut out by Nomo Dodgers. Hideo Nomo scattered four hits over seven innings, and Eric Gagne saved his 41st game. The Dodgers beat the Cubs 3-0. This was 2003 on August 17th. Are we on the radio right now? Is this show going on?
We it still is. Are.
Is Hogue headline still coming up?
It is still coming up.
Is Jared Payton going to do TV right now?
I do have to go. I mean, this is real life.
What do you got coming up on the show?
Really, I haven't talked to anybody today. Just you guys. Just to you guys.
Sports feed coming up at 6.
One just of the turn on at 6.
Tremendous promo by
come on.
That was the best tease of all time.
I'm just saying, just turn it on at 6. You'll see.
What planet are you from, Adam?
Talk about what you love about Adam Hogue for a second.
Adam Hogue is the best Bears beat reporter of all time.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Goodness. All time.
You're listening to The Beat on 720 WGN.
Still not true.
I really didn't realize until this very moment that I have missed Hogue headlines.
Yeah.
If just for the music itself right now, just this, I feel peaceful just hearing this little.
Yeah, Dan, where do we get this music again?
Came from Mike Jacobson.
Oh,
I have
that's
no
right.
Idea.
Yeah, Jacobson came up with this when we did this with him.
So, Jackal, just to get you into a mood on a Sunday afternoon at 5 with a Hogue headline.
I miss Jackal Notes.
Jackal Notes were incredible.
75-page packet of stories every morning.
The man works hard.
The kid does not sleep.
Hear him on the Steve Cochran Show.
Love him. Here we start with this one. Little note in Casey Johnson's report from Las Vegas.
Oh, I love it. A Bulls note.
Yeah. Well, Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
Made his Bulls debut yesterday.
Sure did.
He got his jersey, his Bulls Summer League jersey.
Yeah, they didn't spell that nut right, did they?
The last name was spelled wrong.
These things happen.
Markkanen is spelled M-A-R-K. That's Mark. Same name you have over there, Carm.
Yeah, how'd they do the N-N?
And then the last part is K-A-N-E-N.
K-A-N-E-N.
Well, whoever put the name on the jersey switched that last E and A.
These things happen.
Instead of Markkanen, it was Markkanen. Well, that didn't really make a difference. Anyway. Yep, had the old name spelled wrong on his first Bulls game. The Markkanen era, off to a good start.
Rough loss to the Mavericks yesterday as the Bulls trying to go back-to-back in the Summer League, going for that Summer League championship. Not many teams can claim a back-to-back in the Summer League. The Bulls have that opportunity. Hopefully they won't go about it like the Cubs are going about it right now. Continue on, please.
If you were flying out of JFK in New York on Friday, you may have had a delay.
Never would have done that. Always go to LaGuardia Southwest, right to the U.S. Open. Booked my ticket. I can't wait to go. Go ahead.
I do LaGuardia usually. That is not the greatest of airports, though.
That's true. It's not.
They got a small runway, and it contributes to delays. This was a different kind of delay, though. This from the New York Daily News. A crew of Randy Turtles went to JFK Airport to do what they do best Friday, slow things down.
Randy Turtles?
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but some 40 Diamondback Terrapins sparked delays on the runway at the Queens Airport Friday afternoon as they took their time making their annual migration for a nesting ritual.
The turtles went to nest on the runway at JFK?
Well, I read a little bit about this. Apparently, every year this happens. They do their their shenanigans on the other side of the runway. They have to cross the runway. Everything in Hoag's headlines is true.
We need a turtle expert, 312-981-7200. Who knows turtles? If I could be a turtle, I would be a turtle over some other creatures out there. Continue on.
A Port Authority spokeswoman told...
I so want to be a Port Authority spokesperson. That could be my next gig.
Cheryl Albiez told the New York Daily News, there were planes briefly stuck in queue. It is turtle season here. But it was a little unusual to get the turtles at this time.
What does a Port Authority spokesperson do all day? Do they just sit there and then all of a sudden somebody will knock on the door and say, we need you to speak now? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's like any... What?
You can speak now. Nobody else can. You're the spokesperson. You're the Port Authority spokesperson. There are turtles. Speak. That is such a good gig.
When the turtles cross the runway.
Why can't I get a gig like that?
Yeah. Have you been following the Joel Embiid, LeVar Ball saga?
Yes, I love everything that has to do with LeVar Ball and the fact that Elena Deladon was taunting him was beautiful. Go ahead.
That was great.
On Embiid.
Embiid had an Instagram Live video earlier this week in which he's just kind of walking and he goes, blank LeVar Ball. This, of course, started on draft night when Ben Simmons just tweeted the words crazy pills with Lonzo Ball. And Joel Embiid wrote back, please dunk on him so hard that his daddy runs on the court to save him.
He was fined 10G by the league for doing this on social media. He used the F word on social media.
That's the Hoag headline.
Okay.
He was fined.
I didn't mean to jump.
It's okay. He was fined. Joel Embiid was fined $10,000 for using the F word on social media, which kind of sparks. I mean, does that seem fair?
Yes. You can't go on social media and taunt other NBA players with. It just doesn't. There are repercussions. People get fired.
But it was just
for
using inappropriate language.
NBA doesn't want it. Okay. I get it.
All right. LeVar Ball fired back, said the reason he said that, his vocabulary is limited, LeVar told TMZ Sports.
Ooh, LeVar!
You gotta use cuss words when you don't have no intellect.
Interesting.
He's not intelligent at all. He's worried about me. He should be worried about playing. I got three words for him. Can't play at all. Oh, shoot, that's four. LeVar Ball, everybody.
LeVar Ball, who keeps on telling us that Lonzo Ball is the greatest thing ever. Lonzo Ball was like 1 for 100 in his first summer league game and went 1 for 15 from the three-point line.
All right, this last headline from Hoag's Headlines may be of interest to WGN listeners, specifically listeners of the Steve Cochran Show, who have maybe heard of a guy named Bill Hillman. Who was in this studio, I want to say 2 years ago.
We talked about Bill yesterday.
Yeah.
Go Bill.
But so he was sitting in his chair right over here in this studio.
I didn't know that.
He was promoting his book, which was about how he got gored by a bull in Pamplona. He does the running of the bulls. He's done it 12 years in a row now. He almost died doing this a few years ago. 3 years ago, he was severely gored. He came back, he wrote a book, he said, I'm doing this again.
He did.
I think everyone in this studio basically told him he's crazy. This was a couple years ago. I was sitting in here, I was filling in for Dave Ennett that morning.
You can't stop Bill Hillman, you can only try to contain him. Is that Van Earl Wright from back in the day? Or is that Kenny Mayne? Was that Dan Patrick? I think it was Dan Patrick.
I don't know.
You can only try to contain him. You know what I'm talking about, SportsCenter. Come on.
Well, if you listened to the show yesterday, you know that Bill Hillman was gored again. And it wasn't pretty.
He was one of two Americans gored. He was in a hospital in Pamplona.
But this was pretty bad. Hillman told People magazine, I looked back again, and he was just on me. At the last second, he shot me straight up in the air. The horns just went in a really weird way, and he gored me. Hillman explains he immediately went into shock, which blunted the pain. I felt the blow send me in the air, but I didn't feel piercing pain. I walked to the medics, which is pretty incredible when you hear what happened. The medics pulled my pants down, and there was blood everywhere.
All right.
He added that he avoided serious injury because the horn came near some important parts of his body but missed them.
Oh, that's good.
I edited that.
Good job, Adam.
Really sure what I'm allowed to say there.
The horns missed the family jewels of the Hillmans?
And the next quote I can't read either. It's just a really weird thing to say. I apologize, but you can find this People magazine story online easily and find it. Hillman spent 36 hours in the hospital where doctors stitched up the surface of the deep wound. Did some other things I'm not going to go into details about. Trust me, you don't want to hear about it. He was released Sunday, so Hillman's out of the hospital. He's starting to feel some pain. However, you cannot cure his love of the Bulls. Oh, not the Chicago Bulls.
He's going back.
He wants to be back out there tomorrow.
Yeah, he does.
Monday.
I wish that the Cubs had the determination of Hillman to just keep going back for more.
This brings up the question, would you rather almost die from being gored or get gored in the, the tough area?
I can't be getting gored. I don't know what the other options are, but I can't be getting gored in the tough area. No goring.
But would you rather a non-serious tough area goring or almost die? Because Hillman's had both now.
I don't want to almost die. I'm anti-almost die.
Here's my answer. I'm just going to avoid the Bulls.
Yeah, but then you...
Kind of like how I avoid the Chicago Bulls.
But you wouldn't be living the life of Hillman running down the streets of Pamplona with Bull and the euphoria and the ecstasy and the adrenaline rush that Hillman's living in.
You know who ran with the Bulls a couple years ago? Chip Kelly.
I mean, have you watched... I'm sure you have the highlights of people running with the Bulls. It ain't like there's three people out there. I mean, it's a huge scene.
Oh, my God, it's
crazy.
They
love it. They love it.
That's one thing I will just never do.
Did you... can I add one on to... I'm never doing it either.
I understand the thrill in doing things that are exhilarating, but no. I don't need to be gored.
Biggest risk that you've ever taken as far as... your own personal safety. Have you jumped out of an airplane?
No.
Have you done anything interesting ever?
I flew in a helicopter.
That doesn't count.
I don't know.
Dan Long, have you done anything interesting ever? This is probably why the show is just struggling. We don't have risk takers. Wait, I've never done anything interesting.
Wait, the show is struggling?
I don't know. Maybe it is. I feel like it might be. Maybe it's not. I have no idea. Yeah, nobody tells me how the show is doing. I think we need more risk takers.
We can use risk takers.
312-981-7200 is the show struggling. What, Dan, have you ever done anything interesting?
Of course, but I mean, most of it I shouldn't talk about in the workplace.
Have you done anything interesting you can talk about?
No.
No.
Wow.
No.
Now I want to know what he did.
No.
One out in the ninth inning, Melky Cabrera breaks up the no-hitter from Josh Freeland.
That is a great effort and a clean base hit to left field.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just lined it up and you can cancel the postgame show.
126 pitches. He's not even going to finish the ball game because this is baseball.
Well, he probably shouldn't have thrown 126, but he had the no-hitter going.
No, I agree. But he's got to let him at least finish the game and get a shutout.
How many pitches do you let a guy go before you have to pull him while he still has a no-hitter going?
I don't think you pull somebody with a no-hitter.
What if he's at like 150?
Unless he's got like injury history. I'd rather let him throw 175 pitches and like back him off his next start. I'm all about the individuals. The team is overrated.
Well, and it's bad timing by him. This is the one day where you can exhaust your whole bullpen
That's
and not worry
too.
About it because you got the All-Star break coming up. Anyway.
312-981-7200. Does this show need to take more risks? Jay, welcome to WGN.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy weekend, by the way.
Thanks.
You too, Jay.
Hey, listen, I was a hotshot on a Forest Service firefighter team.
Yeah?
I did that for a long time. That's what I did out of high school. That was the first job I had.
Uh-huh.
So that was my risk taker. Trust me. Southern California burns every year, and sometimes it's nasty, and sometimes it is, you know?
You fought fires, Jay?
Yes, I did.
Jay, you're a stronger man than everybody on this show. Just know that.
That is definitely risk taking.
Jay, are we letting you down that you're listening to a show that has nobody that's done anything close to what you've done in your life?
No, everybody takes risks. I mean, I grew up in the desert Southwest, so I used to have a dirt bike, and we were always trying to emulate, you know, Evel Knievel. Remember that guy?
Of course. Of course.
Jumping things all the time. Well, you do stupid things when you're young, you know, and then you get older and you kind of like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I got a nephew that keeps asking me to go jump out of a plane, and I keep telling him, why would I jump out of a perfectly good airplane? So that's not going to happen. But, yeah, you know, I mean, to a point within reason, you know. But I enjoyed that job, by the way. I have friends of mine that still do it. You know, you can't do it when you're 60 because that's what I am, but they're basically in a position where they don't have to do all that grunt work. But I had a blast. I mean, and I actually tell people they should basically go into that field before they make a decision in college because it's interesting. You learn a lot of things. It's more of a naturalist job, more like, you know, you did that 10% of the time. The rest of the time you were doing other things. But it was a blast. And it's a hair raiser, but if you know, you're taught well. And, you know, it's not without risk, of course, but it's a blast. I'll just say it. Those guys don't get enough respect. There's no movies about them. And I wish somebody would come out and do a movie about them, you know. But anyway.
Got you, Jay.
Have a great
week. You too, man.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for sharing. Appreciate you.
For a copy of
Jay's call and a transcript of everything, you can email us at WGNradio.com. Dan Long will put it together for you. I love Jay, risk taker.
Look, I have all the respect in the world for those who risk their lives for the greater benefit
Absolutely.
Of the
Absolutely. I don't know how this show got to this point. Yes.
But
he did real things.
Firefighters, yeah. Police officers.
Right.
Absolutely.
Violetta jumped out of an airplane.
The difference between that and running, putting yourself in a, you know, the width of the running of the balls, like 20 yards?
It's a very tight.
It seems tight.
Hillman, thank you for bringing it back to where we started this conversation.
Well, my point being is, like, there's certainly a benefit of being a firefighter, a police officer. You're saving lives. You're putting your own life at risk for the benefit of others.
Right. If you're running with the bulls, you're doing it solely for you and your own entertainment. Right. Absolutely.
And, by the way, those bulls that are running after you aren't exactly being treated well.
No, they're not.
That opens up a whole other thing, but my point being that there's really no benefit to this other than, you know, that was fun.
I watched all the video yesterday from Hillman's run, and I'm seeing this bull in the middle of the street.
I didn't hit the button. I couldn't watch it.
Oh,
does
really?
Does it show him get gored?
No, you don't see a bad goring at all.
Well, especially because of what actually happened.
But
I don't want to see that.
But I just saw, like, these bulls getting taunted, and the bull's in the middle of the street, and there's, like, five guys, like, in a little bit of, like, a crevice of an alley, and the bull starts moving towards them, and they all, like, sneak out. It just didn't feel good. It didn't feel a good hug.
I mean, you want to root for the bull, don't you?
I was rooting for the bull. Get them. Take them all out.
They're treating the bulls.
But then you don't want to see Hillman get hurt or anybody else. That would be rude. There's no wins here. I will say this, though. There was like at least 2% of me that kind of wanted to do
Look, all I can say is I 100% I was in the studio. It was in this microphone. I said to Bill, he was sitting right there. I told him, don't do it.
Bill didn't listen to you, buddy.
Bill did not listen to me.
No.
He didn't listen to Steve.
No, no.
He didn't listen to us.
No, he didn't. He didn't. And that's why he's Bill Hillman, hero, and gored for the second time.
How is he a hero?
For, I
Jay the Fireman is a hero.
That's true. Fine. It's not a hero. Not
Bill,
a hero.
Not a hero.
I take it back. Not a hero. Coming up after 5:30, also not a hero. Iman Shumpert, Chicago guy, NBA champion, had a summer camp. I went out and talked to him. The dude is legit angry at Kevin Durant and loves the Chicago Bulls. He should be a Bull, even though he's not necessarily the greatest player on earth. I just like to see him as a Bull. We'll play a little bit. And I think he really didn't like me and didn't understand what I was saying either. So that might be actually the most entertaining part. He wanted to kind of beat me up. 720 WGN.
Quick update on the cookies.
Yeah, how were they?
Carr may have been right.
Really?
Yeah, they're not bad.
Yeah.
But the
mass produced.
You failed to mention though that there's a coffee cake up there.
You were sitting right there.
Well, I know. Yeah. But once I got up there, I saw it, and that's the best part.
I'm a food expert. Badish used to bring in Dominic's Pizza and claim that it was good.
Hey, it was.
Like
it was
$5 ready one?
It was so bad. It was so bad.
It was awesome.
You'd walk in there and be like, hey, you want some pizza? I'm like, I never said anything then.
I know.
But now I'm ripping you,
Roger.
You
know, people, management used to stay around on Friday nights.
None of that.
Just to get the pizza.
None of that is true.
Yeah, they did. You goofy.
It was very nice of you to bring in the Dominic's Pizza. That's a true story.
And I'm so sorry that they're not around anymore to do it.
That makes one of us.
They stopped making them? Oh, well, Dominic's
isn't. Dominic's out of business.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I've had the pizza at, like, the place that took over their spot nearby. I'm not going to name it.
Yeah.
And wow.
Not as good?
Tell
me, Mariano's has bad pizza?
Huh?
Mariano's has bad pizza?
I'm not talking about, no.
Something else? Yeah. Okay. I think Mariano's is great food. I enjoy their...
Mariano's pizza, they got good selection there.
They have a nice cuisine. All right, okay. Iman Shumpert is a Cleveland Cavalier, mm-hmm. and he's also an Oak Park River Forest guy, so he has a local camp. He comes back, sees his coaches when he was growing up, and now he's a big-time $11 million-a-year guy, winning NBA championships alongside LeBron James, who was a New York Knick. If you also Google Iman Shumpert, you will see very racy pictures of him and his wife, who apparently like to do... They're very stylish, but also very sexy all at the same time. I went out and saw Iman.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, the pictures are worth it. I'm just giving you a little heads up. So.
They like to play dress up?
Right. So I go out, or dress down. So I go out to Iman's camp, and, you know, everybody's ripping on the NBA these days because there's only two good teams, and really only one, and the Warriors and the Cavs. So I was trying to have a conversation about how it's actually good for the league that the Warriors are there and that you, Iman Shumpert, along with your Cleveland Cavaliers, are the competition and the league is fine. But he really wasn't understanding where I was coming from. So let's pick up the conversation there and let's all decide if Iman Shumpert hates me.
If it's up to you. Are you hoping to be back or are you just wherever you're going to hoop, you're going to hoop?
I'm hooping, like I'm. You know what I'm saying? I love to win. You know, I've been a part of that nucleus now for 3 years, and you know what I'm saying? I can't say that I haven't had good moments as a Cavalier. I understand the business aspect of, you know, them making trades and signings over there in the West, and them having to move people around. If I'm one of those pieces that got to get moved around, that is what it is. I told you my days of. Oh, I'm so loyal, they can't do, it's like, it's a business, and I understand it now, you know what I'm saying? And even the city understands, even if guys do get traded or, you know, guys choose not to sign back, like, I think the fans are pretty fair with understanding the business side and saying, man, thank you for what you did or whatever, and we move on. But I'm a little older in the league now, so it's like, it really don't matter.
Could you see Melo enjoying himself if something crazy happened and he wasn't in Cleveland and you all got to play with him again?
What do you mean?
I don't know. He said he's willing to be traded to Cleveland or Houston.
I guess. Melo wants to. You know what I mean? He got a no trade clause. So if he wants to lift that and play with Cleveland, that's what's going to happen.
I know you said the fans understand, but the fans of Chicago haven't really understood what's going on. The Bulls kind of played you guys tough during the regular season last year. Are you surprised that they blew it up? No.
I'm saying regular season is a little different than the playoff. Can't really gauge scheduling and how guys' bodies feel. They beat you in the playoffs, it's legit. You know what I mean? Playoffs is where it is. That's when it's legit.
Do you think y'all feel like you need more? Is there enough on the team right now, or if you play better in the finals? If you see them again, do you get by them?
I mean, I'm not here for the what ifs. You know what I mean? They won. Let them enjoy their championship. We go at it again next year to see who's going to be crowned.
It's good for the league, though, right? I mean, I think people enjoy having a team like you guys and them. I mean, some people think there's no drama, but I don't know. You grew up. There was power teams. The Bulls were a power team before the Lakers and Celtics.
It's not a power team.
Yeah.
See, the difference is coming together before you're a power whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the reason that Kevin Durant's move was looked down upon was because he was already an MVP, and you already had this team you're joining down 3-1 on your own. Yeah. So why join them? That was the problem.
Yeah.
You didn't have that back with my Bulls, so please don't compare my Bulls to what they did. I'm not saying that, you know what I'm saying, it's wrong what they did. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
We're not going to sit here and say the Bulls is a power team because Mike was not going to go join Charles Barkley or Charles Barkley go join Mike. It just wasn't going to happen. They were trying to beat each other. They hated each other on the court, loved each other off the court, but hated each other on the court. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the Bulls. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep the Bulls over here.
Yeah.
We're going to let the Warriors have their championship over here. They won. They did good. But let's not compare the Bulls to the Warriors.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, when I was growing up, a little bit older than you, it was Celtics and Lakers. And the league got lifted up, and then Michael took it to a whole other level. But there wasn't any complaining. Like, those were the two teams, and you knew they were going to play in the finals every year.
What MVP left their team
and
went to the team that already won a championship?
Right.
Name them.
No, it's never happened.
You can't.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm saying. So stop searching.
Yeah.
I know you older than me, but you're not going to talk this basketball stuff better than me, bro.
No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm just...
You keep saying you older, and back then it was, bro, I know it all. I listened. I watched everybody, bro.
Yeah.
I got a lot of history here.
Yeah.
It's never been done.
Yeah.
He did a move that we never seen. People either frowned upon it or they liked it. That's what it is.
Right.
There's no extra nothing that goes with that.
Yeah.
They are not the Bulls.
Yeah.
Like, stop it.
That's the league, though.
That is. That's what I'm saying. We've developed a new culture where people have to do that, and that's fine. You know what I'm saying? It's good for the fans. It's making people better. Cool. But it's not the Bulls.
It's not the Bulls.
That was a bizarre interview.
Wasn't it?
What was he objecting to?
He was objecting.
Because then at the end, he answered your question by saying that it's good for the league. Right? He just slipped that there at the end, which was your original question.
He didn't want the Bulls to be viewed as a super team. He wanted them to be viewed as a team that organically came together and built their way, whereas Durant is basically jumping on a team that had already won a title, and he had won an MVP, and he was down, he was up 3-1 on them. So he's... In my mind, at least, he's discrediting. He's trying to be nice to Kevin, but he's not giving him the same level of credit of a Bulls team that was built from the ground up. Now, you could look at that second Bulls team.
Wait.
Dennis Rodman was not on the Durant level, but he did win championships.
This is so petty. Because the Warriors, they had already won a championship, and pretty much everyone except Durant is homegrown.
Right,
was drafted by them.
Right.
And then they had already won a title.
Yes, but
that sounds like somebody's bitter that they lost to the Cavs in the finals. That's what it sounds like to me.
You think he's bitter losing to Golden State? I think that's true.
Yeah,
probably,
I thought it sounded bitter.
Well, maybe a little bit.
And he took it out on you for some reason.
Well, that was fine.
You should have responded, no. I know way more about basketball than you.
Actually, I think I know more than you, Iman.
I've been around longer. I'm older.
See, let's talk Bulls. Let's have a deep dive under the Bulls. But I get the whole, you know, Kevin Durant, if he stays in Oklahoma City, maybe they even beat Golden State. Right?
Maybe. I would have loved to see that, a rematch of that Western Conference Finals.
Right? At any rate, that was Iman Shumpert at his camp.
This is a weird interview.
I think that might go into the Radio Hall of Fame right there. That interview could make it into the Hall of Fame. Dan Long, what do you think? Radio Hall of Fame? Carmen and Shumpert at his camp?
I'll put in the submission this afternoon.
Can you send that to the Silver Domes? Maybe we can get that one in there. Get an honorable mention or something.
Be great. Be great to have a submission.
there it is. All right. Well, that was our little basketball talk. We'll wrap up with some baseball coming on back here. Joe Maddon and the Cubs are two games under. The White Sox nearly got no hit in their final game. The Cubs and White Sox lost by a combined score of, what was it, 24-3?
The Cubs scored three?
Cubs scored three.
Then, yeah, it was 24-3.
It was 10-0 Rockies?
It was 10-0 Rockies.
And 14-3 Pirates.
14-3 Pirates.
Go baseball, go.
Good job, Chicago baseball.
Neither team is over 500. One was expected to repeat. The other is doing what they said they were going to do. So we'll do a little baseball to wrap up the show. 720 WGN.
I think people just want to get away. Move, you know, get away from this, get away from the grind. You know, everybody's been, I mean, it's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of preparation. But for whatever reason it is, it is what it is.
Want to get away? That's John Lester.
That's a perfect soundbite for Chicago baseball.
Want to get away?
You ever wanted an all-star break more? 24-3 today between the Cubs and the White Sox. Both losses.
Well, they'll be back at it Friday in Baltimore for the Cubbies. And what are the White Sox?
Sox are at home against Seattle.
Sox are home with Seattle. We were going to talk a little baseball, but we have very little time here.
And this is more important.
And this is, I guess, arguably more important. I have an evening tonight.
You have a big night.
I have a big night tonight. It is true that I have been dating someone. And
first of all, you just admitting that on the air is almost as monumental as what's happening tonight.
It's a monumental admittance right there. And I'm being invited to meet the family tonight. And I would like advice at 312-981-7200 on what I'm supposed to bring. I do have...
This is a sit-down dinner?
I'm not exactly sure what's going on, I believe.
Well, see, there's your problem.
The other thing is that I am not properly prepared clothes-wise. All I have is the shorts and V-neck shirt that I'm wearing right now. So there is a question on, do I show up a little bit later and make my way home first, get myself more dressed for perhaps an occasion, and then head on out? Or can I just go shorts and a V-neck shirt, first time ever meeting the family, along with, you know, what am I supposed to bring? How do I make myself look like a... adult.
All right, here's my first answer.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Bring a bottle of wine. I think that's fine.
Bottle of wine.
Nice gesture, you know.
No flowers.
It shows you care, but...
Cookies?
Yeah. No.
Those nasty cookies
upstairs.
Yeah,
grab the nasty cookies upstairs. Bring those, maybe the coffee cake. Grab a nice bottle of wine. Not a nice one. Just grab a bottle of wine. Okay? As far as your attire, if you had the time, I don't have a problem with the shorts. You're worried about the shorts. In my opinion, it's July. You can wear shorts, okay?
You don't like this shirt?
It's not that I don't like it. I think the shirt's good enough. If you had the time to go home, I'd say maybe get a button-up that goes nicely with those shorts. Those are a nice pair of shorts. I like those. You got like the pinstripey, I don't know what you call them.
The white pinstripey blueies.
Yeah, those are a nice pair of shorts.
It's like a seersucker short.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Sort of, kind of. Right.
It's seersucker.
So you think instead of the V-neck, I need a polo? Like I could...
No, I would actually say if you had a button down, like long sleeve, that would go well with shorts.
A long sleeve with shorts.
Yeah, but then you roll up the sleeves. It's a good look, trust me.
It's kind of preppy right there, Hogan.
It's a little preppy.
I don't know about that. Like if I was...
It's not preppy, it's nice July wear.
A long sleeve button down. I might have that in the car. So...
We'll check it out when we get done.
I mean, I have an extensive trunk of nasty stuff in there. I know there's like a bad pair of like green corduroys. Should I wear the green
corduroys? No.
No. No.
But I would say most importantly, if you don't have the time, do not show up late. That's a bad look.
Well, I mean, I said I'm doing the radio show till 6. I'll see you guys when I...
Oh, you didn't give them an arrival time.
I said I'd be there no later than 7. But so...
Okay, well, that's okay.
Yeah, that is...
You don't have time to go home.
No, I don't. But I could, like, in theory, I could, you know, maybe make a stop along the way. There's got to be a Target somewhere on my path here or,
yeah,
you know, even a perhaps upper level look. like a Nordstrom rack, perhaps I could run into something like that. I'm not going to go full price for this thing. I mean, let's be honest. I can't afford that type of move.
847 says, just bring your personality. You'll be great. They like you. Wine is a good idea. The clothes upgrade might be correct.
Okay. So nobody's minding the short look. You can wear shorts to these.
I like the shorts. The shirt. It's not bad. It's just not great.
I know it's radio. You can't see the shirt. It's just because it's like a
light. It's a blue T-shirt.
It's like a light blue. It's not a T-shirt.
Slight V. Not a deep V.
Got an ounce.
It's not like I could see your chest hair.
That's true. It's not a deep. It's a very professional. You don't have to see my chest hair V. Okay. I mean, we're just gonna roll with it.
I want to see the button down in your car.
I don't know.
When we get down.
Okay,
there.
We can.
I just want to. I'm going to tell you.
We can check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's on. This is it. Bottle of wine. And if I have an upper level shirt, I'll wear it. But if I don't, I'm not stopping anywhere. I'm just going to wear the blue.
Mark, don't matter. Wear the shorts. Do you really like this girl? Don't be late. Have a good night. 7:08. I think it's going to be just fine. I think if you wear that shirt, it's going to go fine.
Got a three-part text from the 847 here. Always call or text to keep your date and her family informed about your estimated time of arrival. It shows respect. You should wear what you have on if you feel it looks decent and it's clean. You want them to see you as you are. You want them to accept you as you are. Third point, you don't have to bring a bottle of wine if you don't want to. It's a nice gesture, but just your funny, kind, interesting self is enough. You're the best. Good luck, Mary. Thanks, Mary. So nice.
There is some good.
God, I love the WGN listeners. You people are the greatest.
There is some good advice in here, though, is that you shouldn't present yourself as somebody that you're not. Because you're going to, if this works out, you're going to see these people forever.
Well.
So you don't want to have to, like, play the pretend game forever. Have you ever seen Meet the Parents?
Yeah.
Don't do what Ben Stiller did.
Right. Okay. Be yourself. Wash my hands?
Like buy flowers. Like take a shower. Don't show up smelly.
I have showered today. Did it ever occur to you that they actually might be listening right now? Yes, it occurred to me. I took that risk. I don't think they are. They're having a party out there. The whole family's there.
Well, maybe they have you on blast right now.
I don't think so.
Maybe it's on a big loudspeaker.
Here comes Noonan.
He probably has thoughts.
This is like home run alley.
He has never barged through that door faster with more aggression than he did right now.
I've been listening to this, and it's crazy. All right, first of all, congratulations on dating
somebody. Thank you, Brian.
Wine and flowers are always a nice move.
Okay. What do you think of the shirt?
All right, I like the shirt. It's a nice shirt, but am I right? Did you say you don't know what the event is? I don't know.
Well, it's a dinner on a Sunday night. I think they're.
But is it an outdoor?
I don't know if they're grilling or not. I don't know that. I really don't.
All right.
I think that I might have heard something about a lasagna or something like that, but I'm not sure.
Okay, lasagna means you're going to be probably eating inside.
Yeah.
They know you're coming from work. The V-neck would be okay. I would go polo. I got to disagree with Adam on the long sleeve button down, only because of the time of year.
Okay.
Early summer, late summer, if you're going to be outside and it's going to get cool in the evening, maybe 60s, I agree. That's a fine look.
Okay.
The seersucker shorts, go-to. I would have gone with a navy polo shirt with those. This is a guy who used to work at Marshall Field selling men's clothing. I've got a history of this.
Noonan's done everything.
I've done a lot of things. Yeah. And I've taken risks, unlike you schmoes on this show. I've rappelled down cliffs. I've done all sorts of things.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, you guys come in, nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. We got nothing. I legitimately did not have an answer.
You have hot takes, but that's about it.
I just threw it out there. This show is just not interesting enough.
Don't let this guy tell you that he wants to be a turtle. Tuesday, I have mad respect for eagles. I want to be an eagle.
I did want to be an eagle.
Every day he's a chickalane. Pick an animal.
I love animals.
You're a different animal every day.
I want to be an eagle. I want to be an emu. He doesn't know what he wants to be. He doesn't know what he should wear to a dinner. He doesn't know if he bought wedding gifts. How do you sit across from this guy every week?
It's unbelievable. Tough. Yeah, it's tough.
Unbelievable.
The key thing there that I'm realizing is I'm basically saying I want to be anything but myself.
Exactly. I will shift into anything.
And meanwhile, we're telling you, as you go to your most important important dinner ever. Yeah. Just be yourself.
I will. No, go as a turtle.
Yeah, go as a turtle.
Go as a turtle. Just sit there with your head like in your shoulders, and every time you take a bite, just kind of lift your head out, take a bite, and then bring your head back.
I'm willing to go eagle. I'm willing to go turtle. Oh, boy.
Those are opposite ends of the animal kingdom. Yeah, you realize that, don't you?
I'd rather be an eagle than a turtle.
Who wouldn't want to be an eagle than a turtle?
Have you ever seen what an eagle would do to a turtle?
Right, have you ever seen an eagle trapped on its back where it couldn't flip over? No. Of course not. Because they can't get trapped on their backs. They're eagles.
Right. That's what happens to turtles. Right. I was a little slow today.